And a hello to you today, Bernie Miklas with you on my Bernie Show here on YouTube. Let's get into it today. I wanted to talk about Mason Wynn batting leadoff. Should he bat leadoff? I've written plenty about this before. Don't recall doing much video on it. I don't think I have. Last time I wrote about this subject, however, I kind of screwed up, which is nothing new. I had some notes that I had cultivated by doing some research, and I planned to use them, and then I forgot to use them. Dumb, but what can I say? Guilty as charged. Anyway, so I'm back to try to get this right this time in video form instead of the written form. Anyway, let me get this out of the way up front. Mason Wynn is a gifted young player who turns 23 in 10 days. As a rookie in 2024, finalist for the Gold Glove Award at shortstop in the National League, led Major League shortstops in defense and runs saved. He won the prestigious Fielding Bible Award as the top shortstop in the game. Overall, he hit .297, had a .335 on base percentage and .430 slugging percentage. Really good numbers in the first 125 games before he tired out late in the season. I think Wynn clearly was the Cardinals' most valuable player in 2024, and the future is bright. But for all the positives, I don't know that Wynn should be batting leadoff for every occasion. And I come from the Earl Weaver school, and, you know, Earl Weaver was hardly a heretic. And so what do you mean he wasn't a heretic? Well, because Earl Weaver, long before so-called advanced metrics became fashionable and, you know, using analytics became fashionable, Earl used them. He was a big believer in that stuff, except there was no title for it. He just had people doing research for him to get platoon split advantages, finding out the correlation between high on base percentage and the success of an offense. He had people, a man who worked for the team in particular, who would do all kinds of research for Earl Weaver, and Earl Weaver would do as much research as he could, given the primitive technology that was available at the time. But I had a chance later in his life to talk to Earl Weaver about some different things. And I asked him, I said, you know, you did so great with your leadoff hitters, Don Buford in particular, who is catalyst of that offense for those three straight American League pennant winners, 69 through 71. Don Buford got on base at a huge rate and scored a lot of runs. And he also hit for some power. But anyway, Earl said, and he repeated this a lot, it's in books too. By the way, two new books out on Earl Weaver, two new biographies, which is really cool for me because I'm a huge fan. But, you know, Earl, born and raised in St. Louis, lived and grew up in Ferguson. His father was a dry cleaner and was an official dry cleaner for the Cardinals and the Browns. And Earl Weaver, graduate of Beaumont High School. So anyway, when I talked to Earl Weaver at the Hall of Fame one time, we compared notes on St. Louis. Delightful man, but a crab when he was a manager. Some of those arguments he would get into. Look him up on YouTube sometime. With Bill Haller, the umpire, especially. But anyway, Earl believed if this was gospel to Earl, he believed, you know, first of all, high on base percentage is the key to every offense, especially if you got some power, because that means a lot of three run homers, walks on high on base percentage and three run homers. But anyway, he believed the leadoff man's main duty, main responsibility was getting on base at a high rate. And it was for the simple reason, the more he got on base, that meant the people hitting behind him, the 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters who are generally considered to be your best hitters, the more the leadoff guy got on base, the more opportunities the 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters would have to drive in runs. And that's correct. I know I've seen pushback on this. People say, hey, well, yeah, okay, but the leadoff man usually leads off an inning only one time in a game in the first inning. Does he even come up first in an inning from that point on? Probably not often, but I really, all due respect, I think that misses the point, because this is all about how a lineup cycles through. And if you have a number one hitter who gets on base at a very high rate, it really doesn't matter where he comes up in a particular inning. If he gets on base regularly, he's still going to give the guys hitting behind him chances to do something. It doesn't matter where he is in a specific inning in terms of when he comes up in that inning. Anyway, let's continue. when I started to pay close attention to Earl Weaver, I started to learn about the game, and I started to learn about this correlation between high on-base percentage and how it boosts your offense. So that's my – see, my background kind of informs my personal history as a fan and someone, you know, doing stats and analysts, all kinds of analytical stuff. See, my past or my background kind of informs my current view of things, right? And Ollie Marmol last year committed to Mason Winn as a leadoff man early in the season. And if there was a problem with that, I didn't mind him trying that out. If there was a problem with that, Winn had a 290 on base percentage when he batted leadoff. Now, among the 30 hitters who had the most plate appearances in the majors last year when batting leadoff, Mason Winn's on base percentage ranked 29th out of 30. So he was next to last at the key thing you want your leadoff man to do. And his walk rate was also very, very low, a little over 5%, a third worst among leadoff hitters. And his overall metric, weighted runs created plus, all you need to know is whether guy's above average, below average, or at average. Anyway, in that metric, he was 25th out of 30 leadoff hitters. He was 7% below league average for the season batting leadoff, league average offensively, 7% under average offensively. So having a leadoff man with a 290 on base percentage and 470 plate appearances, it's problematic to say the least. And by the way, stolen bases aren't a factor here. I know Winn can run. He's really fast. It doesn't necessarily make you an effective base stealer. We saw that last year if we were paying attention. He swiped 11 bags, but he got caught five times. So that was a success rate of about 68.7%. In case you're wondering, that was 11% below average. The overall league average for successful steals was about 79%. So that was really lacking. And I know Mason Winn's been working hard on this, his base stealing fundamentals, and hopefully he'll do a lot better at it in 2025. I think he'll do better. I don't know how much better. We'll see. Now, if you want to try to persuade me that Winn can grow into the leadoff role, I wouldn't dismiss that. There's no reason to dismiss that. I wouldn't say you were being dopey. I wouldn't think I was dopey if I said, no, never bat him leadoff again. I know I wouldn't dismiss it, but because Wynn's only played 187 major league games, and he's played even fewer than that as a leadoff guy. So he's obviously capable of developing into a fine leadoff man. And this is supposed to be a runway season for the Cardinals. The irony, of course, is that last year it wasn't a runway season. They were trying to win every game. They thought they had a playoff team. And he had Mason Winn in the number one hole, even though Mason Winn was hardly ideal being a leadoff hitter with that low on-base percentage, right? See, last year was not a, well, do everything to Winn year. Last year wasn't every we're going to write out the lineup card because we want to Winn. That's what we're going to base it on. This year is supposed to be a runway year. And so I don't know whether the runway will be extended for Winn again this season, batting leadoff. It looks like it. Ollie's pretty steadfast in this. So we'll see if he can do better. And I hope that Mason Winn does better as a leadoff man because I'm a fan. And by the way, it's doesn't matter what I think or you think, it's Ollie Marmol's lineup card. And he gets to make those decisions as long as he's the manager and he has a card to fill out, right? But I put together a little something, and this is far from perfect. So I'm stating that up front. All right, I'm not trying to sell this as like some unbelievable, revealing answer, but I think it just shows us a little something anyway. And how important it is or it can be for a leadoff man to get on base. All right. These are from 2024. When Winn did not reach base at all in a game last season, the Cardinals went 10-14 and they averaged 2.1 runs in the 14 losses. Okay, not good. When Winn got on base exactly one time last year in a game, Cardinals were 15-16 and they averaged 2.4 runs in the 16 losses. Not good. When Winn reached base two times or more, in a game last season, the Cardinals were 31-16 and they averaged 6 runs in their victories and they averaged just about 4 runs in their losses. Much better. So maybe that tells us a little something about how important it is for a leadoff guy to get on base as much as possible. The biggest problem, within a problem with Mason Wynn batting leadoff last year is because, of course, as you know, he hits right-handed. So anyway, 70% of his plate appearances last year came against right-handed pitchers. So there was no platoon split advantage. And that made him more difficult for Wynn because he's much more effective against lefty pitching. As Marmol's leadoff man last season, Wynn had a horrendous 279 on base percentage against righties. His walk rate was really bad, a little over 4%. And overall, using the one metric, overall, when batting leadoff last season against right-handers, Wynn was 23% the league average offensively, 23% below, 23% under the league average offensively when he batted leadoff against right-handed pitchers. When Wynn got in there against left-handed pitchers, much better. Leadoff guy, left-handed pitchers, much better. In fact, his fancy pants metric indicates that 28% above league average when he went against lefties in that leadoff role. And that includes, obviously, lefties that come into the game as a reliever later on. See, so it'd be fantastic if Wynn could face lefties in 70% of his plate, appearances instead of 30%. But that's not the reality because in a season, all hitters are going to see right-handed pitchers about 70, 72% of the time. And here's the thing. Marmol's got options to utilize at the number one spot when the Cardinals go against right-handers. And you know who I'm talking about because they've done it before and they've done it well. And I'm talking about two left-handed hitters, Lars Nootbaar or Brendan Donovan. And, of course, with Nootbaar, it's just a matter of staying on the field. We know that already. But anyway, over the last three seasons, Donovan's got an overall 370 on-base percentage against right-handed pitchers. And he's got a 340 on-base percentage when he bats leadoff against right-handed pitchers. And in that role, 13% above league average offensively, batting leadoff against right-handers, 13% above league average offensively. Nootbaar, last three seasons, 351 on-base percentage overall against right-handers, a 344 on-base percentage against right-handers when he bats leadoff. This all makes him 20% above league average offensively the last three seasons when he bats leadoff against righties. So if you want to just sum it up in that one metric that I use, just going to tell you the guy's above average or below average and what it is, just to try to simplify it for everybody. Last three seasons, and they've all had a representative number of plate appearances, right? So Nootbaar, 326 plate appearances, batting leadoff against right-handed pitchers, 20% above average. And his walk rate in those situations is 13%. So anyway, the bottom line performance, 20% above league average offensively, batting first against right-handed pitchers. Donovan, 13% above average in 486 plate appearances, batting first against right-handed pitchers. And Wynn last year in his 327 plate appearances against righties, batting first, 23% below average. So you got Nootbaar, 20% above average. Donovan, 13% above average. Wynn, 23% below average when facing right-handed pitchers as a leadoff man. And I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you and a lot of numbers at you. So there's one more before I start to wrap this thing up, though. The interesting thing about this is that even though Nootbaar and Donovan bat left-handed, they actually have, each of them have a higher on-base percentage against left-handed pitching when they bat leadoff over the last 3 years. Nootbaar, 70 plate appearances in those scenarios, 429 leadoff on-base percentage against lefties. Donovan, 337 on-base percentage leadoff against lefties, 104 plate appearances. Wynn, 143 plate appearances, 315 on-base percentage batting leadoff against lefties. Now, 315 is not bad. It's not great. But it tells you, the interesting thing is that the two left-handed hitters actually get on base at a higher rate against lefties than the right-handed hitter does. So I agree again that there's room for improvement, and Mason Wynn to me is a player on the upswing, and I do expect him to get better. Some of the projections don't, but I'm not paying attention to that other than just acknowledge what they're saying. I prefer to watch and see what he does. So is Ollie Marmol correct in having Mason Wynn bat leadoff no matter what? I think it's a legit question, not only because you have Donovan and Nootbaar, who are much better against right-handed pitching, much better at getting on base against right-handed pitching, but Nootbaar and Donovan are also rolling up a higher on-base percentage against left-handed pitching than Wynn does when he bats against left-handed pitching. So the one thing about Mason Wynn last season, man, if you look at his numbers, and I didn't write them down, but I can hit them up again in another day. When he was in the lineup batting eighth and ninth last year, earlier in the season, his numbers were just ridiculously good. So he can hit. We know he can hit. Maybe last season batting first, it was like he was going to school and really trying to learn how to be a leadoff hitter at a young age. Maybe he wasn't quite as polished as he would like to be doing that. You know, you got to walk more. You just got to get on base more. And sure, there's absolutely a possibility that gets better in 2025. But what happens if it doesn't get better? At some point, does Ollie Marmol reconsider and say, well, I got to try Nootbaar or Donnie in the, you know, at the top of the lineup, because these guys are really good as far as getting on base, and both of them have got some power. So yes, let's say the Cardinals are not getting their offense is struggling a little bit, and one of the factors is because Wynn's not getting on base again, right? So I wish I could make a phone call to the late great Earl Weaver, ask him what he would think about Wynn struggling again as the leadoff guy getting on base. I can pretty much imagine. I'm very confident. I think what Earl would say. He said, well, they got those two left-handed hitters. They get on base all the time. You got a right-handed starter on the mound. You got to put one of those guys up there. What is that? Like Nootbaar? What's that guy with the candy bar's name? Nootbaar? Get him up there. Get that guy with the beard. Who's his name? Donovan, a long-haired guy. Get him up there at number one against right-handers. He'd say something like that, except he'd have some salty language in the middle of it. Anyway, probably have a couple really bad words in there. So anyway, I can't talk to Earl Weaver about this, but I tell you what's more relevant when I wonder what happens if Mason Wynn continues to struggle getting on base as a leadoff man, especially against right-handed pitchers, when you got two left-handed hitters that can do that. The more relevant question is, I wonder what Heim Bloom will be thinking as he's watching this, if Wynn is struggling to get on base as a leadoff man, especially against right-handed pitchers. I wonder what kind of notes Heim Bloom will be taking. You know, when I watch games, we all watch games. We think about, okay, if I was the manager, what would we do? What would I do? Right? We all do that. That's a big part of the entertainment. Except I'm going to find myself in 2025 as I'm watching games and I'm watching moves being made, good or bad, but maybe the ones that don't work so well or the ones that I didn't understand to begin with, right? Even before you get the outcome. I'm not going to be thinking just about that, but I'm going to be thinking, I wonder what Heim Bloom thinks about what he just saw in terms of the manager making a big decision. I can't wait for the real games to start. I don't know about you all, but I'm just about played out with spring training. I want the real stuff. Anyway, thank you all for watching. As always, appreciate your support. Please support, subscribe, hit the like button, and I'll be back tomorrow here on the Bernie Miklas Show. Thank you, thank you, thank you.